The following presentation is brought to you by the Pride of ODU, the official NIL collective of Old Dominion Athletics. Be a monarchist. Join the Pride. Monarch Nation, we are back from Orlando, ready to talk Old Dominion football. But first, we got to introduce my co-host, as always, Aaron. How are we doing today, buddy?
Not too bad. I was riding super high after that bowl victory was brought down a little bit by the basketball game yesterday. But that's not what we're here to talk about. So it was an awesome trip to Orlando. I look forward to talking about it.
And our new recurring guest. He's here almost every week now, ladies and gentlemen. Justice, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Like Aaron said, it was a great time in Orlando. Awesome experience. And glad to see the guys get the 10th win, send off the seniors the right way. It was awesome just to see, like, their smiles at the basketball game yesterday. They had, Steph, Zach, Devin, Coach Ronnie. They got
honored. Ricardo.
Oh, Ricardo. I can't forget Ricardo. The smiles on those guys' faces, you know, like they were just, I don't know. It was just awesome sight to see.
Yeah, it was very special. We'll get to it later, but we had the special opportunity to talk with Quinn Hennickel after the game. And that was a special moment for me and Aaron, I believe. But his smile and his, like, it just looked like he had a sense of relief on him, on his entire body. You can almost sense it. I don't know if I'm off base there, Aaron, but it almost like a lot of weight was taken off of his shoulders in that.
Well, 100%. It's hard to explain. Why don't we just show it?
Whenever you guys are ready. Yeah, it looks good on you, Quinn.
All right, we're here with Pure Bowl MVP and ODU starting quarterback, Quinn Hennickel. How's it feel?
Feels awesome. I mean, this is everything I dream about, playing a game of football. I mean, it's incredible playing in a big stadium like this with my guys in a bowl game. You know, I grew up watching bowl games, making picks and stuff, and to be able to experience this and be a part of it, it means everything for me, man. It's incredible.
In this O-line, obviously, we had the same five guys all season. Mm-hmm. Zach goes, sits out early in the game. But what can you say about this O-line and what they've done for you today?
Oh, incredibly tough. Those guys will do anything to protect me, and I think they showed that today. They're dogs. I love them. They're so supportive. You should see them at practice, in meetings, in the locker room. They're really team guys, and they encourage me a lot and everyone around them. I mean, they bring the juice, as we like to say. So it's awesome. Those guys are incredible.
All right, and then obviously the defense. You got to shut them out. They hold USF to 10 points. A very high-powered offense.
Oh, yeah. Again, defense. Like I said, team game. They couldn't have done it without him. Key stops, huge stops. They were able to get the ball back to us when we needed the most. I mean, incredible effort by them. I couldn't have done it without him. It was awesome.
Last question. Well, congratulations again on the MVP.
Thank you.
That second touchdown run. Once you broke through that line, you saw
the
grass.
Yeah.
What was that feeling?
It was unbelievable. Like I said, it was like a dream. I mean, it was crazy. Like, again, it was almost like that Arkansas State. It was just nobody there, just running, almost, I like to say, running to the ring, you know? I mean, just incredible. Couldn't have done it without my O-line, running back, making that hole. So it was awesome. Words can't really describe it.
All right, man. Congratulations. Aaron's got some voice.
Just one last one, man. You heard all those fans from the 757 that came down.
Yeah.
What's your message for Monarch Nation?
Love the support. Thank you so much. We had a great crowd. Roll Narcs, baby. Let's go.
Let's go.
Like you said, roll marks. Fantastic game by Quinn. I don't know if we want to start back at the beginning, or do we want to talk about like the trip overall before we really get deep into the game?
Start from the very beginning with the trip, man.
All right. So me and Aaron had the bright idea, because we've flown Delta before, of getting Comfort Plus.
Yes, because that was going to be more comfortable than regular, right?
Yeah. In my experience, you get more leg room, more width. But I hadn't flown in a little while. It had been a minute.
But in all fairness, we did have more leg room.
We did, but that's because we chose the exit row. It wasn't because of how Delta's constructed the flights. I need leg room. I'm a big dude. I need a little bit of extra width. I'm a big dude. We did not have that width. We were scrunched in there like sardines.
That was terrible.
It was bad, man. And everyone walked right past you guys. Like, that's where you were, right by the door.
It was. We were like the butt of the joke. The saving grace is we had cool flight attendants that were right in front of us, and that helped to blunt the pain and the uncomfortableness of, I mean, those seats. I mean, I'm not a small guy, but I'm not like football player size by any means. And there wasn't a whole lot of room width-wise for me sitting in it. So, like, it was really bad before we took off. And then once we took off, it was this... Justice, you don't even know, because you were back behind us. But I reclined the seat enough that I could get my left arm and shoulder behind Mike. So, like, we're kind of trying to stack people because the width wasn't enough.
Like Legos.
Like Legos, yes. Mike is all, like, up against the window part, trying to give me a little bit of room, but his left knee couldn't really go anywhere because of when the door closes, they've got this pad over. That was terrible. I did get a survey from Delta yesterday, and I very politely but honestly told them how much that trip sucked.
So here's what I'll tell you. My old experience that made me think Comfort Plus was great, there was two seats on each side of the row.
That made a huge difference.
They've done shrinkflation and made it three. We sat on coach on the way back, and it was the same exact seat, except we actually had a TV in the front of us.
But I don't even want to talk. Well, we'll get to that part. That's the return.
All right.
Freaking Canada. Well,
we were lucky enough to come in on Tuesday. We had an amazing one-on-one meeting with Ron Moses. We can't talk much about that. But we followed it up with the ODAF pregame event at Sports and Social Orlando. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Amazing event. Free food. Lots of ODU fans showed up. Great opportunity to mingle, meet some new fans. Really spectacular night at Sports and Social Orlando.
In the last episode, we kind of told folks, hey, make sure you might want to eat before you go, because you just never know with these things. Man, ODAF knocked it out of the park on this. They made sure that there was food like the entire time. And when stuff got depleted, they were talking to the restaurant and making sure that they were filling back stuff. So filling back things. So hats off to ODAF for making it a great experience for everybody. Not just the food. Everything was like, you know, was awesome, including Ted Alexander and Andy Mashaw and who else was there? James with him. There to kind of get the crowd pumped up and preview the game.
Yeah, I enjoyed myself. Got to meet some fans I've never met before, some listeners of the show. Great meeting all of you. Good chance to talk with some of the parents we've met over the years and just kind of celebrate Old Dominion football and where we're at right now in Old Dominion athletics. The next morning, we wake up. We start getting ready for the game, and we have a balcony facing this parking lot and SeaWorld. We go out there. I think it was Aaron that went out there, and he opens and sees the offense doing walkthroughs.
It's like, hey, guys, get out here. Come here. So
we immediately go out there and watch this walkthrough for like the entire walkthrough, and we get a good idea of what the game plan was for the Cure Bowl. Obviously, we couldn't say anything before the game, but we knew it was going to be a lot of short and intermediate throws and a lot of running.
And we were looking from our balcony all over the parking lot, the other balconies, up and down, looking to see if there were any South Florida drones or people. We're like, is there anybody here potentially watching this besides us? And we saw two, I think, ODU fans down in the parking lot. They might have been player parent.
I think they were parents, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I saw a player, after they're done, I saw a player go over and hug them, so.
But that, yeah, that was cool, Mike.
It was also interesting to see because the defense was inside the conference room doing their walkthrough. So they were going against an ODU offense on the defensive side. So you see guys like Elijah Hoskin, a D-tackle. And it was just funny to see that kind of figure out who's that playing defense and where they were at.
Yeah.
But it was also great to understand kind of what they were kind of trying to do ahead of the game before it even started, what their plan was. So from there, we go to the Old Dominion Alumni Association tailgate. It went from 1 to 5. I want to say this might be the best tailgate experience we've had at a bowl game. And that's high praise considering how good the Myrtle Beach one was.
Yeah, yeah. It was. It was definitely. I mean, the others were great too, but like this just was like a whole nother level, in my opinion.
It was. We talked about it last week. We talked about the two price points for if you're a drinker or non-drinker. Everybody's going to eat, of course. And the value that it usually brought. And it didn't disappoint. They had three different restaurants. I think they had more pizza. They had actually four, right?
Yeah, four. Well, pizza, if you include the cupcake guy, it's five. But yeah.
Some like taco. I didn't order nachos, and I can't remember. I didn't get that. And multiple, lots of bar setups. It was not – you did not have to wait to get stuff. And plenty of it.
And for the drinkers, it included liquor too. Like
it was an interesting setup where they shared space with the USF tailgate, which didn't open until 3. So we ended up with a lot of USF fans in our tailgate because we actually committed to the full tailgate window.
Fortunately, there's no beef between, so you wouldn't even know if they weren't wearing other colors. It was very cordial.
And there weren't many USF fans there. So it worked out okay.
Yeah, I mean, that was one thing that I guess like surprised me just overall, not just the tailgate, but like even at the game, was the fact that Old Dominion fans, like, to me, it was pretty clear outnumbered South Florida fans.
Yeah, a lot of the fans we talked to at the game thought it was maybe South Florida had more. But looking from the press box,
yeah,
to me, I thought it was obvious that we had the clear numbers.
Yep.
Maybe it's because we were more compact and we were smarter with how we sat. But if you think about it, we were going almost from end zone to end zone on that side of the field. And there weren't many gaps with big empty seats.
That's true. At first, I thought we were very compact over there until I kept walking the sidelines. And when I went to the other end zone, I was surprised because I was like, oh, we've got a lot of people down here.
Where they put the stands? Well.
Yeah, all the way around. Yeah, I mean, there was people. There were ODU fans all the way to where the swim team was over the end zone.
And speaking of the swim team, we've shouted them out on here before.
Yeah.
But they really came in clutch for this game. They had their overalls on. Their striped overalls that they've become famous for at Old Dominion. They were loud. They were into it. It's just great to see other sports supporting other sports on campus. It always makes me smile knowing that like the swim team is there and supporting ODU football or ODU volleyball, whatever. But those guys have been awesome all season long. And for years now, they've been our best student group on campus.
Yeah, they were really into the game. It was awesome to see, and they were having a great time.
Yeah, you got some great shots from the field there. I would ask you, Aaron, so we're on to the game now, right?
Yeah.
Me and Justice are in the press box. You were on the field. How different was that experience for you?
you know me, man. I love being on the field. It's much more difficult to watch the game because of, well, one, I'm not tall, so I can get stuck behind people. But two, the depth perception is difficult. But there's nothing that matches being able to, you feel the game when you're on the field. It's like the, I don't know if the right word would be percussion, but when guys are hitting, like you can feel that even on the sideline. It was great. And from the very start, from the pregame warmups, you could tell, it was very easy to tell that the guys were into this game and the coaching staff was into this game. They were fired up. I almost texted you guys to say, like, we're going to win this game. Because when the offensive line and the D line were warming up in the end zone and Siler and those guys were there, like they were getting after it. It just, you could tell that it meant something to them. And then all throughout the game, the team was engaged when things were going well, when things weren't going so well, the position groups, like everybody was focused, everybody was into it, everybody was lifting each other up, with the exception of that one thing that we saw late in the game. But it was like they were on a mission. It was very clear early, and that carried all the way throughout.
All right, Justice. Was this your first press box experience?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, we can sit in the press box at Old Dominion games, but, like, just like you guys, I sit in my normal seat. So this was the first time, like, I sat in a press box for the entire game. And, yes, yeah, so it was a fun experience, but it was a different experience, right? Like, it's so hard to not root for your team, right? That was probably the single hardest thing to do. But it was fun, you know, like I enjoyed being able to, like, again, a new appreciation for, like, the stats crew, the spotters, right? You know, so that was, like, a benefit, I guess, of being in the press box. We never had to guess, like, who made the tackle or who was hurt, because they're constantly calling out the numbers and, like, who the player is. So that part, you know, I really enjoyed. You know, the other, I guess, if there's a downside, like, because you can't cheer, you're not, like, surrounded by other Monarch fans and enjoying the game with them. But, you know, it was a cool and a fun experience for sure.
Well, at least there was me and you together. We kept doing fist bumps under the desk so no one would see or call us out.
Yeah.
I would say that I had a little bit more freedom. I didn't, you know, I wasn't, like, magnanimous in cheering, but I'm on our sideline, kind of blended in. It's not in a quiet environment, so I could do that. The other cool thing that I don't know if I shared with you guys was I was able to, there's a lot of folks on the sidelines that people might not realize, and even I learned. I was looking at people's badges to kind of see who they were. I didn't recognize them. And so there were a couple official liaisons for the officiating crew. So, you know, I was able to stand next to one of those guys and ask a number of questions throughout the game. Two critical points. One was the hit that Quinn took and how there was no flag at first. And then once there was, we talked about that. And that was an interesting conversation. And then the second was the end zone, the kick, where they downed it on, like, the 1 yard line. And I will say on that one, the guy that I was talking to was shocked that they did not call down to review that, because it was something that they didn't call it on the field. And so they couldn't initiate it on the field. It would have had to come from top, and it didn't come up from up top, like they hit to Quinn on the targeting call.
I will say everyone in the press box was confused why they did not review that either.
Another fun press box moment. I won't repeat what was said, but there was a point in time when the referees were talking to South Florida's head coach, and that was quite a colorful conversation that we got to hear in the press box.
Hot mic, yeah, right?
Hot mic. I don't think it was on for a good minute. Like,
yeah.
And when it turned off and he finally corrected it, there was a collective, aw, in the press box. Like, everyone did it at the same exact time. It was pretty funny. But it was also not surprising to see him get that penalty, like, very soon after.
Was it a little bit like the Clark Griswold moment after he gets his boss with the red bow tie?
Yeah. Lots of F-bombs.
And he wouldn't talk about it after the game either. When kind of asked about it, he was just like, I'm not going to talk about the officiating. He was fired up. It sounds like y'all heard the whole thing.
It was bad. I mean, I think the officiating wasn't good on either side. Like, holding, I don't think was ever called all night. And there were lots on both sides where they didn't call any holding play, any penalty.
They called it once on a receiver. And it was an egregious call. They had to have called it because it was really bad. But it is funny going on to Twitter and seeing the South Florida fans' reactions to the game. They think the fix was in, the refs were on our side. But if you talk to any Old Dominion fan, they would talk about how bad the refs were for Old Dominion.
Yeah, they were bad.
I think that kind of seconds, like, that supports our idea that the refs were just bad all around. I think I talked to you about it so at some point, maybe it was the second or third quarter ago. Every year there's points of emphasis rules. Like, these are calls we're going to have. And we're gonna call it whenever we see it. It felt like the exact opposite was that for holding in this game, because they did not want to throw any holding flags.
Yeah.
In the second quarter, me and Justice decided to explore a little bit. We wanted to go say hi to some fans in the stands. We go down from the suite level where the press box was. We walk through the club, the lounge, which is very nice, very nice. They don't stop us. They say, come on in. We walk through there, come out the 50-yard line. We see Wood Selig. I tap him on his shoulder, ask him to do an interview at halftime. He says, great. So then we continue on trying to find our friends. Can't find Gary and Harry. Have no idea where they are at still. But we find the Barlevs. We find the Culbris, we find the Hoskins, and we end up watching most of the second quarter with them. And that was a fun experience, getting to root on Old Dominion and not have to hold anything back for that period of time. I also want to shout out the Marquez family. Got to say hi to them. Troy Marquez's parents. But yeah, that was fun. But then at halftime, we go back in the lounge to try to meet Wood. And me and Justice are told we got to kick rocks. We're not welcome there.
Straight. You guys were busting into a place that you were not cleared to be.
Yeah, apparently.
Apparently. But the other people were cool with us there.
Yeah, they let us not right in. Lady. They didn't say anything.
Well, she welcomed us right in. She said, come on in. How y'all doing today? The next lady was not having it.
Yeah.
So I grabbed our buddy, Major Monarch, Harry McBrien, and tell him, hey, man, we're getting kicked out of here. Can you tell Wood we can't do the interview? Thank him for his time. I get a phone call in the press box from Harry and Wood Selig. He's coming right on up. And we knocked out that interview at halftime. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was cool.
I want to thank Wood for doing that. He didn't have to do it, but he went out of his way and made the extra effort to make sure our fans got his take on the game and the bowl. So thank you, Wood. Really appreciate that. You didn't have to do it. All right. Now, this game. First half, I mean, it was kind of a defensive struggle, right?
Yeah, well, we had some missed opportunities, too. I mean, we were able to move the ball. We just didn't always capitalize on that.
Yeah, I will say it was clear from the way they were defending us. They had 7 men in the box constantly. They were daring us to throw, and they were committed to not letting Quinn burn them with his feet.
Very aggressive pass rush.
I mean, they're bringing all seven almost every play.
Yeah. And we anticipated that is what was going to happen. You've got a guy, it's only his second start ever, you know, being thrust into that role. And it wasn't shocking that that's what their game plan was.
The surprising thing was, like, Devin had some great runs in the first half, and Quinn had a couple, was how poor a tackling South Florida had at the second level. I mean, there was one really impressive run by Devin Roche where he felt like he was tackled like four different times and suddenly got away again and again and again. I mean, obviously credit to Devin for making that play, but I was surprised at the tackling efforts by South Florida. And maybe that maybe that goes into what you were saying, Aaron, that we had the energy, they did not.
It's perhaps that's the case. You guys would know better than me. I don't know. I mean, South Florida is a good team. They had a really nice season. I'm assuming they're a good tackling team, but I don't really know.
I think they're better than what they showed on Wednesday, I guess.
I mean, we did note they gave up a lot of yards along in the season. Yeah. And that they struggled against Navy, which is a predominant rushing team. So that's why I think it was so crucial for us to commit to the run and stay with the run throughout, because we saw that damn break in the second half. I mean, that big resounding run by Quinn to put the game away, 51 yards. I mean, that shows you that committing to the run really helped and worked out for us in this game.
Yeah, their aggressiveness just leads to, I don't necessarily want to say undisciplined, but, you know, there's going to be gaps, right? Because they're so aggressive with the pass rush that they just can't cover everything.
But that pass rush did make it difficult for Quinn to have a clean look throughout the game.
Yeah. Or much time.
Yeah. He missed a couple throws in this game. Two deep balls and then one medium range throw to Jalen Butler. It would have been a sure touchdown. But watching from the press box, you could tell he was surrounded on all of these throws, where if he waits another second or half second, he's hit. Like, he was under duress the entire game.
And he got hit a couple times as he was throwing the ball.
Yeah.
Hey, I was slow on the share, but you were just talking about that one breakaway. I mean, this is right before I almost got taken out on the field, which I said I wouldn't do. But once Quinn got through, and I'm sorry if that's coming through slow, but you can tell how pumped up he was and all the guys around him. And what's funny is there's Sydney, 17, coming in. He takes off right there to go to the sideline. And then about 20 seconds later, after everybody departs the pattern, Quinn is coming from the end zone toward, right past me. I got to smack him on the back, dap him up. And Sydney comes flying in from where the players are. They give him a big chest bump. And I have to kind of like do a spin move to not get taken out. The joke the whole time was to not get taken out. And I had made it almost the entire game. And it quickly almost happened.
It's so easy on the sidelines. It almost happened to me. I don't know if it was a spring practice or a fall practice. I had the tripod set up. I was shooting some video. They were doing end zone drills, and I had to pick everything up and run really, really fast, or else it was, including myself, we're all going to be smashed.
Yeah, but that's what makes it so great. It's so awesome.
But that pressure that they were bringing all game, there was a few times where me and Justice were pointing out guys that were unblocked before the snap.
Yeah.
Well,
the one sack, like that guy off the edge, like, you know, like I don't know. Like, yeah, he was just uncovered and it was clear what was going to happen there.
Well, there was a couple issues there where he could have. So he had the running back to his left on that play. He should have moved him right. The lineman should have communicated and said, hey, I got an uncovered man here. Stephon should have had to be forced to block that guy. But if he's uncovered, so is one of those linebackers that's screaming through the blitz. I don't know. It's tough when they're breaking seven and you have six blockers. You're going to have a tough time no matter what.
What we haven't talked about a little bit is really this is the first game this season where our O-line wasn't intact. So Zach started the game, but so our line was a little different. And everybody who watches Old Dominion football realizes how big of a part of that offensive line and leadership is Zach Barlev. So for him to not be out there, that makes an impact.
It's also the first time since a year ago that Quinn's taken snaps in a game where they're meaningful snaps. You know, we're like, we're letting him run the whole playbook, et cetera.
Yeah, I do want to give credit to Logan Cox. I thought he played very well in substitution for Zach. I do also want to note that that was designed removal of Zach from the game. He didn't get re-injured. He knew he couldn't play, but the O-line as a group said they wanted to start every game as a unit. So they let him go out there for that first drive, and when he – you could see it when he was coming off the field. He did the little tap, let them know I'm coming out. And Logan Cox, I thought, played really well. It gives us a good preview for next year because Logan Cox will be a starter on this O-line next year. Kind of answers one of the
number folks, right?
Can you say that again?
I was going to say, I mean, this one of the great things about the bowl game and the extra practices that team got is a lot of guys that ordinarily don't get snaps got a lot of that. And we heard Ricky talk about it. I think he said, and it might've been in the Monday press conference or whatever that you guys covered, was that there were like three practices where it was all the young guys and the starters and the old heads were kind of getting their rest and being able to watch the young guys go and get really excited about watching what the future was of ODU. And it gave Ricky and his staff an opportunity to evaluate which young guys are, you know, going to make impacts. Cause I know he said that it really opened eyes up on a few guys to go, okay, that guy's ready. That guy can contribute. It was a good opportunity for both the players and the staff, for the future of Old Dominion football.
And their development, right? The development of those players.
That was in our last episode where I talked to Ricky one-on-one. There's a lot to like about what's coming back next year. I'm very excited. We'll share more in Behind the Shield coming up. I got another one in the chamber ready to go. I just got to put it onto the screen. I got to write it out, but we've been very lucky. I want to finish this thought. We've been very lucky to develop some great relationships with the staff and with Old Dominion Athletics, and we can't wait to share more with you in Behind the Shield. So please sign up. A lot of great information in there. Aaron, what was your thought?
What I was going to say is that we got a lot of questions while we were down there and on social media with what's Behind the Shield or what's BTS. There's a lot of folks that don't know. So when Mike talked about signing up, when you become a member of the Pride of ODU, if you go to theprideofodu.com, under the membership portion, BTS or Behind the Shield comes with that membership. So if you are a member at any level, you get access to all those exclusive articles, the web pages where we talk about what we call the churn, recruiting, all those sorts of things. We do a lot of stuff that is for everybody and that is free. And on YouTube, we put a lot of stuff on. But for our members, we want to reward them. And there are some exclusive, and those exclusive sort of things seem to grow over time and continue to grow. So if you got to be a member, go to theprideofodu.com, join at any level, and you will get access to all these BTS articles and content.
Yeah, we put out one on late Friday night that kind of walks you through a lot of different things. A new signing that came through on Tuesday. The coaching changes that are going on at Old Dominion right now. As you guys know by now, Coach Decker is moving on to Memphis. And Ricky has named Coach Cody Cook, who's been the wide receiver coach, and Coach Alex Huddle, the offensive line coach, co-offensive coordinators.
Before people freak out, we're okay with this, right? I mean, you have to be okay with it.
That's
well, sure, but
if your team's going to be successful, coping, it's going to happen.
There's a difference in coping and being like, it is what it is. And then there's like, oh, okay, it's change. You know, we wish Coach Deck the best and hope he does awesome at Memphis. But now it's time to evaluate what we have going forward. And I think we like what we see.
Yeah, this is an exciting thing. And it has a chance to make Old Dominion football even better in the future. When Colton took over running that wide splits offense, they knew it wasn't working for Colton's skill set.
And Mike, when you say wide splits offense, for everybody who's watching that maybe more of a casual fan, what does that mean?
That was when we were having both receiver groups on the very outer edge on the boundary.
Like the hash or just outside the hash, like all the way out there.
Spreading the defense out.
It's a great offense for spreading the defense out and running the ball because it creates huge running lanes. I do like the offense. I do believe in it. However, it doesn't fit every quarterback skill set. And for Colton, it didn't work for him. So we kind of incorporated more of the RPO, and it became more of the veer and shoot offense that Kansas State has run for a long time. Coach Cody Cook just happened to play wide receiver and quarterback in that offense. You do get some wide splits in this offense, but it's not every down. And that's the biggest difference. You get a lot more looks. You get a lot more pull blocks, which is where Coach Huddle comes in. The influence on this offense this last year is clear. That it was mainly, it had been shifting away from Decker's wide splits to more of Ricky's and Coach Cook's and Coach Huddle's offense. So take it for what you want. But the other thing that's important about this move is every coach, every person in their job does their job a little bit differently. They might have different skill sets, right? Yeah. Coach Cody Cook is a fantastic recruiter. Like, if you look at this receiving core, these are guys, most of them he recruited to Hutch, and they liked him enough to follow him to Old Dominion.
Enough said.
Brought in a lot of good recruits, wide receiver recruits in this last cycle, too. So, like, it's not like it was just a one-time thing.
Yeah.
And when you have guys that succeed at the level that they did this year of coming in, Ja'Cory and Trey, the kind of years that those guys had, that next class of guys who are JUCOs or wherever they're at that are looking for an opportunity, they can point directly to here at Old Dominion and go, I can be that next guy. Why not me? And we saw three guys eat big time this year. So if you're a guy that's looking for an opportunity, I would be less worried about being going, oh, they already have one or two good receivers, because he saw three people really excel and have an awesome season to go, I can go and be part of that room and I can succeed too. So I'm going to be that next guy.
Yeah. And we got kind of a preview that there's quarterbacks calling left and right, trying to become a part of this team because of how we looked offensively this year. They know we have the weapons. And then we know we're going to have more weapons in the future. So the portal is going to be very interesting to see what this team ends up looking like, but I'm very excited for the future of Old Dominion football.
Yeah, me absolutely. Too. All right. So I got a question for you guys real quick. Unless, where were you going, Mike, first?
Well, I guess we're done talking about the bowl game and how we played, but where were you going?
I was going to ask you guys what your thought is. Ricky made a comment. He got asked the question with regards to the 10th win. And does this help build momentum for next season? And it's been very clear that Ricky talks about culture of the team and how every year is a new year. And there's pretty limited carryover from year to year. Obviously, if you have continuity within the locker room, those guys can help you bring the culture next year. And as I'm saying this, I'm kind of thinking of where this word comes from, as it's almost like the starter you have for like a sourdough bread. You've got to have a piece of it before, so you've got to have guys that will help build that. So Ricky's not sold that the 10 win is going to really build any more momentum. But from a fan base perspective, so that's players, a locker room, team. But from a fan base perspective, how important was it winning the bowl game, getting a 10th win? If it's not so important for the team, is it important for the fan base in Monarch Nation?
I think it's important. Go ahead, Mike.
No, you go ahead, Justice.
I was just going to say, I think it's important for both, right? Like, I understand Ricky's point, but at the same time, it does help, right? Like, if you're a recruit or someone interested in a team, you want to go to a 10-win team or a 2-win team, right? So, like, I can't sit there and think that it doesn't help in some way. But I understand Ricky's point as well. But from a fan base, it's huge, right? Helps build excitement. You know, winning cures everything. And so it certainly helps in that regard. Hopefully helps us sell, you know, more season tickets next year, attract more sponsors, again, attract better recruits, etc.
I will also add, like, this season, considering some of the wins we had, how exciting the games were, our exposure this level, like in media, was so much higher than it has been in years past. Yes. I mean, you still see people tweeting about this Old Dominion football team and how good they were. That is valuable because it's putting your name out there again and again in front of both potential students, student athletes, and the fan base. The other thing is, I think it's going to be crucial for bowl games in the future, because I saw a lot of Old Dominion fans using how we played in Myrtle Beach and Charlotte as an excuse to not go down to Orlando. And they missed out on a fantastic fan environment. I think it was the best environment we've seen as a fan base for a bowl game by far. The stadium, while very old, had a lot of upgrades. The lounge was immaculate. The suite level was great. The press box was like brand new. The field was fantastic. The scoreboard, like the video boards, were awesome. Like, it felt like it wasn't far from being an, like, it's probably the closest to an NFL environment a lot of these players will ever get to see.
It was, and the level of organization was awesome. So we've done media at multiple bowls and gone through the credentialing process, and everything was very organized, from the stuff that Old Dominion did, the stuff that ODAF did, to how we're submitting our things and getting there and picking stuff up. And it's just, everything was top notch. And I don't know if that's just the kind of the bowl level being a little bit better. Everything just was bigger and better and more organized and just a more well-oiled machine.
And then plenty of parking for fans, which was nice.
Oh my God, it was awesome.
And close proximity parking, like super close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a great bowl. It's clear that, I mean, they host 3 bowl games there each year. They used to host they were the first host for the Pro Bowl after Hawaii lost it, for like 8 years. So I think that's where that investment came from initially. But they host the Pop-Tarts Bowl there and then one other bowl.
The used to be the Cheez-It Bowl.
Cheez-It Bowl?
I don't think that bowl exists anymore, but maybe I'm wrong.
It does. It does.
Was that originally the Outback Bowl that turned into the Cheez-Its Bowl?
Yeah.
You got to eat something.
Or the Gator Bowl.
And, either way. And the security office is organized and timely and being able to pick things up.
They are. We don't need to talk about that, though.
No.
All right.
The Cheez-It Bowl is the other bowl that's going to be there this year.
So, yeah, like this, they're the people that were running the bowl clearly knew what they were doing and have that experience. And it made the experience for us and all the other fans that much better. Like, it was a smooth operation. Like, one example, most stadiums have like one Wi-Fi code for media. We know of at least two that they had.
Yeah.
Like, they had one just for photography, and then they had one for the suite level. Like,
and they worked.
They worked great.
Yep.
It allowed us to keep updating fans throughout the game. I mean, I uploaded that video of Wood like almost immediately after it was done.
Yeah.
I was just really impressed with the whole experience, and I would not mind going back to the Cure Bowl in the future.
Yeah, it was for real.
Great.
And when you're talking about that, I just want to send a thanks out to everybody who watches the show or consumes our social media or website stuff. We're able to put a lot of stuff out this week, and we saw more interaction on social media, YouTube, than we have ever before. So we appreciate everybody. Y'all are as much a part of this as we are. We're a fan podcast website. We do this stuff, you know, for the fans, by the fans. So having that interaction and commenting and going back and forth means everything. It was just as fun for us of being able to read and respond to people's comments than actually putting the stuff out.
Speaking of the fans, if you're interested in helping us out in any way, whether you want to be an advertiser, maybe you want to write about women's lacrosse or something. If you want to contribute in any way, reach out to us. Give us your pitch. Let's hear it. We're open to adding more fans. I mean, we've shown Justice has become a big part of the show. That wasn't always the case. We're always trying to add more to this channel and this website. So if you want to get more involved, just let us know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, and I'll double down on that advertiser thing. If you think that this is a good market for you, if Virginia is a good market for you, if the 757 in particular, or what is it, Northeast North Carolina, is a good market for you, hit us up, man. Podcast, website, everything. We are open to ideas and partnerships. We're very protective of the brand because we're protective of Old Dominion. And, but yeah, if you're interested, hit us up.
Yeah, please do. And, or, hey, you might not even need advertising. You might just need to do some tax avoidance. Give us a call.
One thing, looking back on the season, we were talking about, like, momentum and stuff. And, like, I look back on the season, and the bowl game is kind of the culmination of it. But, like, when we had our opportunities on ESPN, look at that Thursday night game. Look at the bowl game. Like, we really seized and took control of those opportunities and, like, you know, showed out really, really well. And that all that's got to be part of the positive momentum, whatever you want to call it, to help, you know, build for the future.
You can add in the Tech game and how we played against Indiana to an extent, right? Because those were both national television, and we did not leave bad taste in people's mouths about Old Dominion football on national TV this year.
And Indiana fans. That was a cool, for most of the season, having Indiana fans watch, keep up with what Old Dominion football was doing. That was a cool little thing that that was going.
Yeah, that was fun. Very excited for next year, though. I mean, Devin Roche's growth through the season was another thing that I was very surprised and happy to see. Because this is a guy that we've talked about for a few years now, and we saw his skill set. But about mid-season, he kind of really hit his form and is a big part of why we went up, we finished the game on a 6-game winning streak.
Huge, huge part of it.
The crazier part is when you see him in person and you get a real idea of how tall and small he is.
Yeah.
It shows you how tough that guy is, first of all. How strong he is for his size. Like, pound for pound, he might be the strongest guy on the team.
We've heard that multiple times.
It was really evident yesterday, like at the basketball game with you see Ricardo and Zach and Steph, and then Dev.
Yeah, I mean, he is. Their height and weight for him might be a little generous on the roster. Because, yeah. But shout out to Dev, man. He's been so much fun to watch this year. And I can't wait to see what he looks like in the future. Because he's going to, next year, he's going to be the guy, I think.
Yep.
There's the picture. It's like me standing next to you, Mike.
That's that. If they were closer together, that's the plane. If Zach,
yeah, because the dude to my right was not a short, small individual either. You're so right, Justice. Thank you for reminding me about that trip.
I also want to commend the band before we end the show. They took a small, like I think they took 100 members of the band down there. They did a little battle of the bands before the game started. And you wouldn't know that we had a fraction of the band size that USF had because we sounded amazing. They brought the energy down there. Overall, just fantastic experience down there. And great to see the students, the band, the spirit groups, the Alumni Association, ODAF, all contributing to a great game day on Wednesday.
All the fans that traveled from the 757, the fans that are local to Florida. We had fans that we saw that traveled from California. Modern Nation came from all over the place. It was really cool.
And they were loud in the game. So loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. So moving forward, we'll be back with some more basketball shows in the future, but we're going to try to do this football show more often in the off season. We're not sure on the cadence yet, but we're going to try to keep you updated on recruit, like the portal and stuff. Once it becomes official, maybe try Which to do is some what, more.
January 2nd.
It's official very, opens. Very soon.
Yeah.
And I do want to go back to that question you had about Ricky and building the culture every year. It's understandable, right? Because if you look at the last 3 years, regardless of who is retained, we're still seeing a 50 new guys in each year.
Mm-hmm.
That's 50 new guys that need to buy in.
It's a lot.
And we've seen in the past, it doesn't take many to kind of derail that buy-in. But this year, we saw complete buy-in from these guys. And we saw the end result of that is a 10-win season. Maybe it's easier to sell the new guys on it, the culture coming off a year like this.
You have to have the right guys because when things don't go right, and there's almost always going to be a time where that happens. For example, this year was the second half at JMU and Marshall. Almost kind of smack dab in the middle of our season. That was the, if you had a seesaw, that is the point in the season where you can go either way. And we asked those questions at that time. And the guys said that they were, they were committed to the 1-0 mentality and that the locker room was tighter than it's ever been before. And they showed that was the case. And finish the season just ridiculously strong.
And I think that, so, you know, and another point, like, to emphasize what you were just saying, Mike, that doesn't get brought up enough is the character of the players, right? Like, and the job this staff does, making sure, like, that they're bringing in not only talented players, but players of, you know, of you know, high character to kind of help that that locker room and you know, portray ODU football as they want them portrayed.
I mean, Aaron, you went to boot camp. The drill instructors do a big part. They do a big part of, you know, getting them to learn the culture. But if it isn't for the guys leading in that, that group of candidates or recruits, what happens?
It's so true. It is so true, man. I like to make I don't think it's a metaphor, but it's very similar in, you know, I don't think on the football team that the coaching staff are, they're not breaking down the team like a drill instructor would break down the class, but there is probably some component to that of whether you're rallying because you love that leader or you rally together as a team because you detest that leader and you're going to win in spite of it, but you've got to forge that locker room or that boot camp class or the officer candidate school cohort. And within it, you're always going to have some leaders. So for example, in my officer candidate school class, we had, you know, three or four guys that were prior enlisted guys, and they understood the culture of the military. They understood how to make a rack properly. They understood how to shine shoes or brass. So they got a lot of the core kind of things and how to march as a cohort. And we looked up to those guys and we learned from them and we respected them. And it helped kind of forge everything much more quickly. If we had a class that had no leadership at all, we probably would not have developed as quickly as we did, or maybe ever at all. So I think it's a good comparison that if you turned over an entire team, 100 people, it's going to be very difficult. But if you have guys, if you have the right guys that are there from year to year, you can help expedite that. That process. So you're hopefully doing it before you hit the first game or as you hit the first game rather than, you know, the seventh game of the season.
And I think it goes back to what we saw late last season and early this season at Media Days. Zach Barlev called out guys that quit last year. Right? This year, He wasn't afraid to say it. This year, he's one of our team leaders, and he was disgusted by that. I imagine other guys like Steph and Ricardo were disgusted by that, and they didn't let it happen. And they didn't let it happen this year. So it's crucial to have those important key leaders on your team each year. And it's going to be interesting to see who those guys are in 26, because someone's going to have to do it.
Yep. Because Ricky talked about, he's not in the locker room all the time. Most of the time, those guys, was it Blake Seiler that made the comment that it was a player-led team? I'm trying to remember who had that quote.
Yeah, Blake.
He's not saying that the coaching staff isn't building this thing and leading this thing, but what he's saying is there are guys in the locker room, there are student athletes that are leaders on this team that are making those things that the coaches are talking about and they're emphasizing, making it happen. Because if you don't have buy-in from the student athletes, it doesn't matter what the coaches are talking about. They're not going to do it. If they don't believe in it, they're going to go their own way. And that was the difference this year. We all saw it. We saw it on the field on Wednesday from the very beginning of how into it these guys were and what it meant to them.
Yep. So I think that's a good way for us to close the show by thanking this senior group for being the leaders that they were and having the impact they had on the field this year. Because without that senior leadership, who knows where we're at right now. So thank you guys. You did the thing. You should be proud. Thank you for what you did for Old Dominion football this year.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's it for me, I guess. You got anything else you want to unload?
Say all thanks and say, go Monarchs.
Before I say those two words or three words, if you're not a member of the Pride of ODU, go to the Pride of ODU, join at any level, go check out the back issues or old articles of BTS because they're more coming. It's Mike puts almost all of it together. I have the privilege of being able to read it and take a quick review. And I enjoy reading every single article, and I usually know what's coming out of them before because we talked. But if you want to be, I don't know if I heard Mike say this or if I saw it in a tweet. If you want to be like the smartest guy in the room about Old Dominion sports, you got to be reading those articles because you're going to know what's going on before most everyone. And when you see things that happen on the field or on the court, they'll make a little bit more sense. And I think it'll just give you much more context to what's going on around. So if you are a member, thank you very much. We appreciate it. And then now I'll go to my thank you. Go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.